Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. How's it? Very good in yourself, Benno. Benno and I are having a little conversation here. Who's excited to be in church tonight? Woo! Great stuff. All right, so tonight, like our very fashionable Reno said, where's Reno? Ah, he's in the baby's room. His mommy's turn to be in the service. Like he said, we're starting off with our sermon series. So get rid of the fluff. Take off the makeup. Jesus was the most real person that has ever lived. I don't know if you realized that, if you knew that, but he was. And before we just look at Jesus and a portion of scripture of Jesus, what does it mean to be real? So say we say, get real, which we often say. What does it actually mean? And it means four things that I could think about. The first one is, if we say get real or be real, we mean be yourself. Okay, right? That's one of the things we mean. The second one is be honest. Get real. In other words, get honest. Okay? The other one is get connected to reality. In other words, get real. All right? In other words, you're a bit up in the clouds, so get real. Okay? So get connected to reality. And then the fourth one is get relatable. In other words, you're a bit in your own world. You're unable to relate, so get real. Okay? Now, all four of those things, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was himself. He was completely himself. In fact, it freaked out Jesus when people were not themselves. In fact, Jesus in those days, he called it a hypocrite. Hypocrite comes from the word meaning an actor. Someone who acts, who gives something that is not himself, that was an hypocrite. So I love the way that Monica and Reno last week illustrated the real sermon series. That was some good acting, all right? So Jesus got upset with people that were not themselves, that were not real, and Jesus was completely real. Jesus was so honest. Jesus was brutally honest. He was, he never hid something away. When he felt it, he said it. When it was the truth, when it was real, Jesus would speak the truth, even though it would have been be uncomfortable at times, or even though he would get persecution or a lot of things, he was brutally honest. Jesus was connected to reality. He knew what was happening. The Bible says that Jesus knows the heart of man. He knows reality. And he was there. He was there with the people. Jesus wasn't in a high tower, locked away, writing messages or things. Jesus was with the people, together with them. He was in the dust, in the places where it was dirty. And then get relatable. Jesus was able to relate with the sinners, the worst of the worst. Actually, that was one of his big criticisms, is the fact that he spent time with the outcasts of society, the big sinners, the tax collectors, the thieves, even adulterers. Jesus was able to relate. But most of all, Jesus was the most real person that ever lived. Because if Jesus wasn't real, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. If you've ever thought of that. If you can remember the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was there. He was sweating blood. It was an intense moment. But yet, because he was so real, he went to the cross. He despised the shame. He took all the punishment. He took all the shame. And he went to the cross because he was the most real person that ever lived. Right, so I want to read from Isaiah chapter 53 from the Message version. And it's from verse 1 to verse 9. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power, thought that God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God. This is obviously talking about Jesus. The servant, Jesus, grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him. All right, so those images of Jesus with the blue eyes and the blonde hair, that's not right. That's not real. Okay, the scripture says there was nothing in physical appearance that was attractive about Jesus. Okay, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand, one look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it upon himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did it to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep. We've gone off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to the slaughter, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice was miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought of his own welfare, beaten, bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked and threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said a word that was not true. Now, the most amazing part of that scripture, those that know will say that the most amazing thing is that that was written 700 years before Jesus was on the cross. Now, I don't know if you noticed the detail of that prophecy, but it was completely, perfectly, to the word fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. But Jesus was real, and he took all our falsity, all our falseness he took upon the cross. And I remember it was about 10 years ago, I preached my very first sermon on this chapter or this verse, Isaiah 53. And I remember I was very shy back then. I was very introverted. I was very afraid. And I remember it was my first mission. It was the first year that I was saved. And I went on this mission. And on this mission, I was dead afraid to speak before people. I was like, I'm not going to do this, but I knew going on this mission, you know, I knew God wanted me to go, so I went, but I don't want to speak before people. I had such a fear. And I remember the morning, I was in my quiet time, I was reading, and I was reading this verse, Isaiah chapter 53. And I knew that in that moment, God is saying something to me. And in 5 minutes, we were doing an outreach. It was like in a lecture theater, actually quite similar to this, just it was a big stage. And 5 minutes before we were going to start with the message or the outreach, we were doing some dances and so on, my leader comes up to me and he says, "Reino," I'd never done this before in my life, "would you please do the message at the end of the outreach?" So I was like, "Oh, well, God gave me this verse. It's all I've got. And I don't really feel like I can say no to my leader now." So there I ended up, you know, taking up responsibility. We did the outreaches, the dances, the everything. And then came the preaching. And I remember I walked up, and there were quite a few people. And I remember I took the Bible, and I started reading the scripture. And then I started sharing. But I have to be honest with you, it was the worst sermon ever. Nothing I said made sense. I remember distinctly looking at my leader. He was in the crowd. Luckily, the rest of the team were praying at the back, so at least there was prayer happening. But I remember looking at my leader as I was talking and him going like this. And of course, my confidence seared through the roof when I saw that. But it was the most horrible message that I've ever heard, to be honest, ever preached as well. And the most amazing thing is, at the end of it, as I gave invitation, I said, is there anyone here who wants to know this Jesus, this Jesus? And I'll never forget that day, because it's the day that I learned the confidence in God's word, the fact that God's word is living and it's powerful. And as I asked if there's people, hands all over went up. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? What? Nothing I said made sense. And I think that's the point, because it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God's word. And the fact that Jesus, and this is the point I want to make tonight, is not only is Jesus the most real person that ever lived, but he's the most real person that ever lives. He hasn't stopped living. I don't know if you've noticed, but he was risen. And he's alive. He's alive today. He's alive with us. But and one of the most amazing things that I've realized in my life, and I'm going to just share just a couple of thoughts from my life, is that God has never dropped me. God has never dropped me. He's never left me. Never left me hanging. You know, even like I said just now, that very embarrassing moment, he was there. And I remember afterwards, as you read, it says, Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. And I felt to make an altar call for people for healing. And a couple of hands went up. And so I went down to pray for some people. I went to a specific lady. She had an ankle that was misformed from birth. But yet I had this word. I was like, I've never seen God heal something like this. But yet God said, by his stripes we are healed. So I put my hand on an ankle, and there were a couple of us, and I prayed for her. There were other people prayed for as well. But I prayed for her, and as I prayed for her, I felt literally, physically, like electricity went through my hands. And I stopped, and we stopped praying. And I said, is something different? She says, no, nothing's different. And I said to her, but listen, I really felt something happened here. I felt like electricity, but nothing changed in the moment. So we were finishing off, and we started packing up the speakers, and I remember carrying one of the speakers, and then I saw the girl sort of limping off towards the one side, and I just knew when I saw her, I knew I had to go and pray for her. And I ran after her quickly, and I went to her, and I said to her, listen, can I pray for you again? I feel God wants to complete what he started. And I bent down. She said, I can pray. I bent down, put my hand on her foot. And I never forget, as I prayed for her, I could physically feel how the bones move in her feet. And I looked up at her, and she had this wonderful smile on her face. And she gave me a hug, and she said she'd never experienced God's love like this, because he really loves her. And I mean, I did, according to effort, I did the worst possible that night, or that outreach. From my side, I contributed very little. The only thing I did was to stand there on the stage. But God came, and he healed, and he touched people. But you know, and another story, and this is a bit of an embarrassing thing, but you know, the thing is, God is always with us. He's always with us. His word says he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But now I said, my leader, you know, at a point he was like, I think he said he was praying. He said he went down praying. That's what he said afterwards. I knew he was not praying. He was embarrassed. And this other time, I was in Stellenbosch, and we were like a big church, and I made the mistake. I was a missions leader, and we had to give missions feedback. And I made the big mistake. Don't ever do this. Don't ever share something in church and not be in the service. You know, so afterwards, Kathleen, were you there? It sounds like you were there. You were like, oh, you're already getting embarrassed. So now I'm standing there. I'm supposed to give mission feedback. And we went to Malawi. And in Malawi, the pastor told us all these stories of how they built mosques. And in these, they would pray in the mosques. And then what happened, this one case was the top of the mosque fell down, and it fell on the sheikh. And, you know, people were like, you know, that's an answer to prayer. But now what I didn't know was that the lady who was a visiting speaker was from the Muslim world, and she was sharing on how we're supposed to love the Muslims, how we're supposed to care for the Muslims. And I didn't know that. But now I share this testimony, and now Pastor Fred is doing the same. I don't know why I shared that. It's a real moment. I remember before I came to Christ, and this is a really embarrassing story. Before, it was like the week before I came to Christ. It was like sort of this time of year, just before Valentine's Day. Now, if you don't know my story, you know, I used to drink quite a lot. Had a bit of a drinking problem. And there was this girl that I was interested in. Let's say this girl, I'm not going to say her real name. The girl's name was Lisa. All right. Now, you need to think, you know, I knew church and I knew things about God, but I wasn't saved, okay? So now it was varsity and it was the start of varsity and everyone's getting excited and, you know, lots of drinking and I had some drinking and I had quite a bit in that I can't remember how much I had in. So I was walking around town and meeting people and, you know, then I went to this band and this band was playing and at the band, I don't remember much of this. I just remember what my small group leader said at that time because he was praying for me. He found me on the streets and he saw I wasn't really with it. So he prayed for me. But in any case, he said to me that there was this lady and we were talking. And any case, so I moved on and, you know, there were lots of things the evening. And then eventually I went to the pub and we had some more drinking. I won't go into the detail of other stuff that happened. But at this pub, I saw this girl that I really liked, Lisa, all right? Now, evening went on, and like it is, if you drink a lot, you don't remember much the next morning. So the next morning, I wake up, I look at my phone, and on my phone is a message from Lisa. And I didn't have Lisa's number. So I figured, well, something happened last night. I don't know what happened. But something happened. I've got Lisa's number. So here's Lisa, and she's sent me a message. So I start replying, and she replies, and you know, we exchange, you know, we start talking and engaging. So I'm thinking, well, it's almost Valentine's Day. Who had a Valentine's date? Yeah. Yeah, some real people, yeah. Great stuff. I like your honesty, guys. Great stuff. So in any case, I'm thinking this is an opportunity. Remember, yeah, I'm sure you got the idea already. So I thought, okay, well, let's ask this girl. This is a good opportunity. I'm gonna ask her out. I'm gonna ask her out on a date. And so I do that. She says yes. I'm like super excited. Tell my friends. Everyone's excited. And she tells me, okay, now I need to pick her up. So I drive to the res where she lived, got to the res, and get out of the car, and here's this girl standing, you know, just at the entrance. I almost parked right at the entrance. I'm like, this is weird, because this girl is looking at me a bit awkwardly, you know, and then I was sort of standing and waiting, because where's Lisa now? And then this girl starts walking towards me, and it's not very far, but it felt like forever. She started walking towards me. And as she started walking towards me, stuff started clicking. But you know when things click very slowly? You know, it's like, it's not coming to me quickly. But she stands next to me and she's like, hello, very awkward, are we going? And I'm like, okay. And in that moment, I realized, listen, something has gone horribly wrong here. I've got Lisa's number on my phone, but this is not Lisa. Or at least not the Lisa I was expecting. Any case, what had happened is that night when I was at the band, there was another Lisa. And I got her number. And now I was there with this girl, and my face is not registering, and it's getting very awkward now, because now she realizes what's happening with the face. So eventually, I was like, okay, well, try and make the best of a bad situation. We went on the date, but I promise you, it was the most awkward date ever. And because obviously she had realized that, listen, something's not right here. Something's very wrong. And like I said, that was soon before I gave my life to God. You know when you put your hope into things in this life and things disappoint you? You know, then, and the thing of tonight and why I'm sharing these embarrassing stories is the fact of this world and this life is not that Jesus is real. The fact is, and that the challenge of this life is for us to be real in our lives. Because it took me, and it wasn't the only thing, but there was a lot of things building up. My life was in a mess, and it took a couple of moments for me to become real about this life. And like I said, I gave my life to God. I surrendered to Him. I went to a small group. I went to people. I remember going to a small group and connected with the people, and the people were weird. They just spoke about Jesus, man. And I thought, that's very weird. You guys look like hippies. You know, Jesus this and Jesus, and that was weird to me. And I just wanted to get away, but something drew me to the people. When I looked into their eyes, I remember looking into their eyes and realizing, listen, there's something. I know Christianity, I know I've been to church, but there's something you have that I never have had. And that thing made me stick. That thing made me come back to small group and back to small group. And I haven't stopped since. And then they invited me to Encounter One. And I went, and Pastor Sias was sharing, and he shared about the love of God. And for the first time in my life, I realized God's love is not just for the whole world. It's for me. And that changed my life. It changed my life to know that Jesus is real. When He says He loves us, it's not just a thing written in the Bible. It's not just a theological statement. It's not just something that is on a bumper sticker that everyone knows. It's real. He really, really loves us. Now I want to just quickly, just before we go on, say the following. When we say being real, what does it not mean? What is being real not? The first one is being real is not living from our emotions or our feelings. Okay, that's not being real. That's just being emotional. Okay? So often we think, if I'm real, I'm like living from my feelings. That's not being real. Being real is not moaning. Ask the Jews who went out of the desert. Okay? They didn't really get into the promised land. Okay? They were moaning. That's not being real. Being real is not ignoring God's kingdom realities. Jesus came to teach the kingdom. So, if you look at Peter, Jesus walked on the water. Okay? Now, the fact says that if you walk on the water, you will drown, or you will go under the water. And eventually, if you're Peter, you'll drown. Okay? But the truth says, when Jesus speaks, you can walk on the water. Okay? So in other words, the truth, which says Jesus' word says you can, is higher than the fact that says you can't. Okay? So in other words, being real is not to ignore kingdom realities, because that's what Jesus came to teach. He said, my kingdom is not of this world, but it doesn't mean it's not real. In fact, it's more real. The heavenly kingdom is more real than the kingdom of this earth. I love what Reinhard Bonnke says. He says the greatest unseen reality is the kingdom of God. Is His army. God's army is real. Now let's quickly, I want to, for a moment, we're talking about the real Jesus. So what is the fake Jesus? Because you know what? There's a lot of fake Jesuses around. We live in a country with statistically around 80% Christians. But in reality, let's get real, the fruit doesn't show it, okay? The fruit doesn't show it. So let's look at a couple of fake Jesuses. Do you see the picture? Is that, that's what's funny. Okay, now that is not a real Jesus. Okay, and now let me start off with that one. The buddy Jesus. Jesus is my buddy. You know, and the fact is, Jesus is the friend of sinners. He wants to be a friend. Like I said last week, God is desires to be so intimate, so close to us that he speaks to us face to face. But listen, Jesus is not your buddy. Okay, he's God. He's God. He created the universe. So there's this idea that Jesus is my buddy, you know, and I can talk to him and, you know, I can talk like he's my friend. He's my, you know, but there's a very familiarity in a familiar way. There's a very way that creeps in where we talk to Jesus, but we forget he's God. Okay? Now, let me just take a step back. Let's go back to the Jews. Moses goes up the mountain. He meets God face to face, speaks to him. Comes down the mountain. What happened? The Jews took the gold that they got from Egypt, and they made what? They made a calf. Now, what is a calf? Isn't that a symbol of something? Who is that a symbol of? A calf? Or a lamb? Who is that a symbol of? Jesus. Okay? So, in other words, and then they say to Moses, and Aaron says to Moses, listen, but they just made the image of God. All right? And then, of course, we know what happened. Moses got upset. God got upset. And then there was this whole, you know, they had to stop because they did something really bad there, right? They made God into an image that wasn't God, all right? And they started worshiping an idol. But to them, it was Jesus. But we do this today. We take Jesus and we make him into an image and we bring him down to earth. We're making him to something that we like, that we can see, that we can relate with. Okay? That's what happens when people make Jesus a buddy. Okay? He's not our buddy. He is God. He's the living God. Go and read Revelations where it talks about who Jesus is today. It says that fire comes from his eyes. He's righteous and true. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's not our buddy, but he's our friend. Another fake Jesus is the boring, the monk. If you look at that image, you know, that's the image that people have of church. Now, Jesus is not boring, okay? Jesus is not old school in the sense that he's outdated, okay? Now, God, I don't know if you know, never gets outdated because he's eternal. God is the most current of all of us. Because he's in the future, all right? He knows the future. He's already there. He's already in eternity. He looks from eternity back. So God is not boring. And if you know Jesus, a life with Jesus is everything but boring. It's an adventure with Jesus. Jesus is not just a moral teacher, okay? I can keep you busy on this for a long while. But a lot of people say he's just a good moral teacher. And that is an insult to say that Jesus is a good moral teacher. C.S. Lewis says, he's either a lunatic or he's God. Okay? There's no middle ground. Jesus said, I am God. Okay? Like Johan said, there's much for us to learn, so go to Bible school. But Jesus is God, and that's who he is. He's not, he didn't left another option for us. He didn't leave it as he's a nice person. But he made it clear, either you come through me to the Father or you don't get to the Father at all. All right? I am, and actually that's what he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he's not just a moral teacher. That's an image of God. That's a false Jesus. He's not just a prophet. He's not only a prophet. Jesus, of course, was a prophet. He was a prophet, a priest, and a king. But he wasn't just a prophet. Because like I just explained, he was God and he went to the cross to die for our sins. Jesus wasn't weak. We often, in our children Bibles, we see Jesus being described as this meek and mild Jesus. This very soft and fluffy Jesus. All right, but Jesus wasn't fluffy. All right, I don't know if you remember of, you know, cases where he spoke to the Pharisees, cases when he spoke to his disciples, and he said it straight. Jesus wasn't scared to say things. Actually, a couple of times he said things so unpopular that right then and there they wanted to stone him. Okay? Jesus was seriously strong. If you look at him going to the cross, there's nothing weak about that. Buddy Jesus, I said, taskmaster. Okay, often some people have this image of Jesus being a taskmaster. Okay, now Jesus says specifically in his word, he says, take my yoke upon you because I care for you. All right? Jesus cares for us. He's loving towards us. He's not just one, and you know, this is one of the things that I thought when I was growing up in church. I thought that God is this distant God, and he's watching you. He's watching you. If you step out in that one way, he's like writing it somewhere. He's going to nail you one day because you did that thing wrong. That's my image. That's my perception of God. God is not that taskmaster. God is someone who invites us. He says, come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you waters to drink that you will never thirst again. He's inviting. He's not a taskmaster. He's inviting God. He's inviting Jesus. Scapegoat Jesus. Now, this is a very popular one. I also had this idol going. We come to Jesus when our exams are tough. We come to Jesus when we need a breakthrough. He's the scapegoat. So when I live my life to the fullest because I'm here to enjoy my life and to discover and to find my destiny and everything. But when things go tough, I run to Jesus because he's going to help me. You know, and he is the helper. And actually, he will help you. If you go live like that, Jesus will actually help you. But you know what? The problem is not with Jesus. The problem is you are serving an idol, a god of your own making. Tweaking Jesus, making him comfortable, and you know what? Jesus is not comfortable. That's one thing Jesus is not. He's real, and therefore he's uncomfortable. Okay? That's why it's, you know, he calls us to be with him, to walk with him. He says to his disciples, leave your old life and follow me. If you're not going to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. But follow me. And if you follow Jesus, you're going to see the things that Jesus does. You're going to do the things that Jesus did. But if you stay behind, you're going to be comfortable. You can stay in your little boat. You can stay fishing. You can stay with your family, nice and cozy. But following Jesus is real. All right? And then dictator Jesus. Jesus is not a dictator. He died for us. He gave his life for us. He surrendered himself, like we read in Isaiah 53. The real Jesus could relate with sinners as good as with the righteous. He could relate with sinners as good as with the people that were right with God, that knew God, that were in the synagogues, that studied the word. He could relate with both of them. He was real, absolutely, in every way. So just a couple of things. And I've shared some of it in the process of tonight, and we're almost done. We're going to just spend some time praying together and allowing God to, and the Holy Spirit to make it real to us. And I'm going to just quickly share just a couple of thoughts from my heart or something, you know, in terms of who is God to me, and not who is God to me 10 years or 11 years ago when I got saved, but who is he now to me today? I want to start off with the first thing, and that's what we're going to pray about. In the end, and the first one is, and it's almost like a bit of a, I'm just going to sort of take the liberty to do a bit of a Thanksgiving, you know, like you get to your wedding day or your 21st or whatever birthday you have, and then you're like, I want to thank my mom, I want to thank my friends, I want to just do a bit of a that with God tonight. I want to thank God for what he means to me, because he means to me, and that's the thing, is God is not real to me 11 years ago. He's real to me today. So I can stand here and I can tell you a lot of stories of what happened, what he did. But you know what? God's Holy Spirit to me is very real. In fact, he's more real to me than the clothes that I wear. And that's the first thing that is so precious to me about God. He's real to me. Like I said earlier, He's never dropped me. You know, I know, not just because of God's word, and of course I believe God's word, but with everything, but I've seen Him work so many times in my life that I know that even though it feels to me, remember, being real is not led by our feelings or being led by our feelings, but being real is knowing who Jesus is. But He's never dropped me. I've been so very many situations, and you know, I've gone through those, but I know that He's with me. And that's probably one of the most precious things in my life. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. Other thing I know, and I'm thankful for Jesus, is that He always comes to fetch me. He always pursues me. A real relationship, and often I get into the mindset where I think, you know, I need to come to God. I need to study the word. I need to do this to get close to God and all the things. And it just becomes a task of things to do. But you know, a real relationship, if you're in a real relationship and you're sort of distant towards the person because maybe you hurt or maybe something happened, you know what? If it's a real friend, that person's going to come and fetch you. All right? And I've experienced it so many times in my life. Jesus comes to fetch me every time. And I'm not talking about when I got saved 11 years ago. I'm like talking often. Often I'm in a mess. Often I mess up. Often I make mistakes. But you know what? Every time Jesus pursues my heart. You know, and I can be unfaithful. I can run away from Jesus. I can not have quiet time for a week. He comes and He fetches me. And He's there every time to forgive me, to make me new, and to cleanse me. And the amazing thing is, it's not like Jesus, when I've missed it, I come to Him and He's like, okay, well, now you need to prove that you are faithful for 10 weeks. Then we'll restore you. Now, right then and there, I feel God's joy. I feel His peace. And that's the greatest thing that God has given me, His peace. The fact that I can stand here and I can be completely secure in the fact that I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus today. I'm completely accepted. No matter what I go through, no matter what challenges, and believe me, there are challenges and difficulties. It's not what I'm saying. There's lots of those. But in the most difficult circumstances, I've still got complete security. I'm going with Jesus. Jesus is not like, you know, you messed up a bit, so I'm just going to let you feel a bit like you're not going to make it. No, He's not like that. He gives you His peace, and He gives me His peace. He gives me joy. I touched on it. You know, like we always say, happiness comes from a happening, but joy is constant. Joy is eternal. If you get saved, you've got joy. Now, God has given me joy. You know, I'm thankful for the fact that I can enjoy life with God, because that's His heart, that's His design. And once again, you know, it doesn't mean everything is great and whatever, but you know what, I constantly, if I go to God, there's this joy, there's this constant, things are good, things are right, God is good. Like we sang tonight, it's not just words, but it's real, it's reality. Now I'm going to read just a portion of scripture again. And then we're going to just end off praying. But before I read, I want to end off with just two practical applications of tonight. Practical things that I want us all to do after tonight, or to at least speak to God about. And the first one is to go to tomorrow or tonight or whenever, to go and tell something to someone that you've never told anyone before, okay? Or tell someone that you've maybe told it very few, if you've told everything in your life to someone. But what I'm saying is have a real moment with someone. Go have a real moment. And of course, someone that you trust, but just go and have a real moment. Something that maybe, you know, was a tense thing for you. A lot of the things that I share tonight is things that I couldn't share immediately, or I couldn't share for many years, even some of it. I was ashamed at it. I was scared. But you know what? There's something amazing that happens if you and I share something in our hearts, even if it's a bit scary. If we share the depths of our heart. Actually, the scripture says, if we bring things into the light, if we share with one another, Jesus is in that place, in that midst. He's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us. And so share something with someone that you haven't told someone before. And then the other one is to love someone. Go and find someone. I said there, go and relate with the sinner. Okay? Now, by sinner, we're all sinners. We all have committed sin. We all, you know, I'm one of the biggest sinners. I've committed lots of sin. But go and find someone that is far from God. That's what I mean by sinner. And go and relate with them. Just go and talk to them. Just go talk to them real stuff. Okay. Is that all right? Who's taking up the challenge, those two challenges? Okay, that's the real challenge. Okay? To get real. Yeah, and I'm going to read for us. And then we're going to pray tonight. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. This is the New King James Version. The real version. I'm glad you guys got that. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned, everyone, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Why don't you stand with me this evening? There was no deceit in Jesus' mouth. There was nothing fake about him. He spoke the truth. And only the truth. He came into this world to show us who God is, who God the Father is. And by that he lived absolutely real. Because he knew that if he would live real, then we would have a true image of the true invisible God. Because God is invisible. But he sent his son Jesus so that you and I can know who the truth is, not what the truth is, because the truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. So if you want to know the truth in this world, then look at Jesus. He is the truth. And he's the life. And he loves us. And he loves us unconditionally. And sometimes our mind gets a bit in the way. Sometimes our hearts get in the way. But the best thing you and I can do is to be absolutely real with our lives. To be absolutely real with where we are at. Because like I said, it took a series of situations, and I haven't told you everything, but a lot of things happened in my life, and my life was in a mess. I remember sitting on the corner of a street after, you know, drinking. And actually, long story, but I was in a pub and I had a bottle and I broke the bottle. And then the bouncers came and they took me out. And then it was a whole mess. But, but I remember I was at the end of the evening. I was sitting on the sidewalk and I had a real, real moment. I didn't realize it at the stage, but I was sort of speaking to God. I was sort of, you know, it was actually weird for where I was at because I really didn't speak to God. I really didn't expect him to respond to me because that's the way I grew up in church. But I sort of said to God, listen, if you're real, and, you know, I sort of poured my heart out and this is what's happening, Lord, and my life's a mess. And I tried to stop drinking and it just comes back, and I tried to find fulfillment in things and people, but it just comes back. And I only realized this much later, but that was the moment, that was a real moment where I think it was 2 weeks later, God showed His love to me. And it's almost like God was in that moment. He was there. And I remember, you know, I was crying and, you know, God met me in that moment. But, you know, I didn't get saved then. But it took me to be real so that I could realize that God was actually pursuing me. He was coming towards me. Because that's His love. Because the Bible says as well, He comes, C.S. Lewis calls God Jesus the hound of heaven. He comes to fetch us. He comes to get us. And right now, while we just come before God, the real Jesus that is in this room, and it's with all of us. He's working in hearts, and He's been working in hearts since we came into this room tonight. And some of you are going to begin to feel that your heart's going to beat fast because He's going to call you now. By His Holy Spirit, He's going to call you to Him. He's going to say, be real. Get real. Stop trying to pursue things that you think is going to be successful and be fulfilling and be whatever you're looking for. But come to Me. All who are thirsty. All of us have a thirst. We're thirsty for something. We're thirsty for significance. We're thirsty for affection, affirmation. We're thirsty. But Jesus says, all you who are thirsty, come to Me. You're going to get substance from Me. You're going to drink and you're going to never be thirsty again. The only thing that is truly fulfilling in this life, and I can stand here, I can say for 11 years, I've experienced this daily, all the time. Jesus will never let you hang dry. He will never disappoint. He will never let you be thirsty. But some of you are going to have to respond tonight and say, I'm going to get real. Maybe I know Jesus. Maybe I knew Him. Maybe I've been in church. Maybe my whole life. Maybe my father's a pastor. But there's an opportunity to get real tonight. And to say, I want to know the real Jesus. Not the Jesus of my making. Not the Jesus who I want Him to be or that enhances my life. But the one that hung on the cross with His arms wide open saying, come, I've got life for you. The one that looked His mother in the eyes and said, Mother, today I make all things new. He wants to make all things new. So I want us everyone to close your eyes. Believers to pray. If you're here tonight and you feel far away from God, you feel whatever you feel, just get real with God just for a moment. Just open your heart to Him. Don't even speak to Him, but if you want to speak to Him, just do that. But just open yourself and say, God, how have I missed it? How have I missed You? I don't want to miss You, but I want to know You. And I want you to, if that's you, to be very bold and to put up your hand where you're standing or sitting. To say, God, I'm having a real moment. I need You. Just put up your hand very high. Thank You for that hand. Thank You for that hand. There's many hands going up. Just be very bold and don't think about the person next to you. Maybe you know God, but you're just far away from Him. You're patching up. Feel the word for something, someone specifically. You know God, but you're patching up. You know things are not right in the inside, but to the outside, you're putting all these images, not of God, but of yourself. You're like trying to show the world that you're okay, but you're not okay. You need to respond to God. You need to come and say, God, it's a real moment. I really need You.